From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The Senate is set to vote at this hour on a stopgap spending bill to keep the federal government funded and running past Friday when the current temporary spending measure expires. NPR's Audie Cornish reports the new stopgap bill includes 2 weeks of funding and billions of dollars in spending cuts.
This measure cuts $4 billion, mostly in education programs and government earmarks, but it's not as far-reaching as the $60 billion version passed more than a week ago, which touched on everything from defense contracts to the defunding of the new health care law. House Majority Whip Republican Kevin McCarthy.
We extend 2 weeks for them to be able to look at it, but we go to the fundamental core of what the American people have said to us. Just as every household has done, you have to cut.
Senate Democrats say they will vote on this two-week stopgap measure while both sides negotiate on an agreement on a bill that will cover the government through the rest of the fiscal year. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that the First Amendment guarantee of free speech protects fundamentalist church members who have staged anti-gay protests at military funerals and burials. The justices upheld an appeals court decision that threw out a $5 million judgment against the father of a dead Marine who sued members of the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas for picketing his son's funeral. Libya's leader Muammar Gaddafi is pledging to fight to the last drop of Libyan blood to put down the uprising in his country, which he blames on Islamist extremists and other foreign groups. He's also warning Libyans they would regret any military intervention by the U.S.
You will be slaves to the Americans as you were slaves to the Italians for decades. Thousands and thousands of Libyans will die if the NATO or Americans set foot on our territories.
Gaddafi's remarks as interpreted by Al Jazeera English today. In the rebel-held city of Benghazi, people turned out for a funeral for those killed in clashes last week with government forces. And rebel forces are fighting back in the eastern Libyan oil refinery city of Brega after Gaddafi's forces retook control of that city earlier today. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro is there.
Gaddafi forces rolled into the town of Brega, which is the site of a very large refinery and other international businesses, like an ammonia factory. They basically took over the town, and then reinforcements arrived from all over eastern Libya. People who are involved in the battle say that the pro-democracy forces had a lot of men, but very ill-equipped and very disorganized. They were faced with mortar fire. We've seen planes bombing them. Muammar Gaddafi really pulling out all the stops.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro in eastern Libya. Gunmen in Pakistan have assassinated that country's only Christian cabinet member. He's the second top official there killed after challenging a law that mandates the death penalty for anyone who insults Islam. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 45 points. The Nasdaq is up 22. This is NPR News. The government-run Central Bank of Bangladesh has reportedly forced out Nobel Prize winner Mohammed Yunus as head of a bank which lends small amounts of money to the poor, which served as a model for similar microfinance efforts worldwide. Yunus has been a longtime critic of Bangladesh's government. He and the bank he headed were co-winners of the 2006 Nobel Peace Prize. Defense attorneys present their case today in the federal trial of a man charged with disrupting a Bush administration energy audit in Utah. NPR's Howard Berkus reports that Tim DeChristopher is expected to testify in his own defense.
DeChristopher admits he disrupted the 2008 oil and gas auction in Salt Lake City, but says he did it to prevent greater harm to the planet. A climate change activist, DeChristopher submitted close to $2 million in bogus bids for drilling rights on land near national parks and other sensitive areas. His defense team has been forbidden from asserting that necessity defense, but elements of it made it to the jury during cross-examination of prosecution witnesses. Judge D. Benson made it clear again he wants testimony only on the auction itself and not the validity or morality of the Bush administration's leasing plan. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
Residents of Findlay, Ohio, have spent a long night trying to deal with the rising flood waters spreading through the downtown area of that city and some neighborhoods. Tracy Kemena says temperatures dropped to 18 degrees overnight, so ice formed on top of the water.
You get tired of wading through it. You don't get any sleep because you're pretty much up all night.
Kemena says the city has still not fully recovered from a major flood that caused millions of dollars in damage there 4 years ago. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR.